Dear friends, we meet at a very solemn time. We have lost, as a church and congregation, how much more the loss for our dear friends in the family. We pray that the Lord may support them and sanctify these things in our hearts. Our first hymn is 466. Why do we mourn departed friends, or shake at death's alarms? 'Tis but the voice that Jesus sends to call them to his arms. 466.
Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the word of God, reading from the second book of Kings, chapter 5. The second book of Kings, chapter 5. Two Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Assyrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant to mule's burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed for ever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us as we come before him now in prayer. Most holy and almighty Lord God, Grant us each now that true spirit of prayer as we come before thee to call upon thy name. Oh, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, remember us as we gather here this evening. Lord, as the hand of death have taken one from their midst, and it is a time of sorrow and a time of loss, we would especially pray for the family at this time, in all that it means to them, a loss of a wife, a mother, a grandmother, the wider family also, and the church and congregation of this cause of truth. O Lord, we would be comforted in this, having that good hope that it was well with her, well when called to die. Oh, to leave that body of sin and death, to be taken to glory, taken to be with Jesus, which is far, far better. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more grief, no more tears, no more night, no more sin, no more Satan. Oh, in that holy, happy place, where no doubt she had that longing to be taken, and now present with the Lord. Oh, what a great comfort to each mourning soul. Sorrowing soul, we sorrow not with them that have no hope, but are that sweet, that blessed hope. Oh Lord, but do remember the dear ones in their time of sorrow and comfort them. Oh, the comforts of God, how deep they are, how precious they are, how full they are. How blessed they are. O Lord, do grant comfort unto each and every one, and draw near and uphold and sustain. All the Lord gave, the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Lord, may they prove thy gracious help in the coming day. In all that is before them now, in all that it means to them, and as their lives may be spared, O Lord, who be their helpers still, and go before in the unknown way. But Lord, this we would pray, may the death of one prove to be the life of another. Lord, as a praying soul is taken, and we do feel that where a praying soul is taken to glory, in one sense there is such a great loss to the Church of God, have lost a praying soul, though we hope and trust that many prayers may yet be answered. But oh, what a great loss, what a great loss in the land of Israel, when the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. No more prayer, but our full of praise. But, O Lord, may it be the life of one, that one might be quickened by thy Holy Spirit and brought to pray. Oh, what a great gain, as it were, to the Church of God. No wonder we read that there is joy in heaven over every sinner that repenteth. Every sinner that repenteth will be found a praying soul. What a mercy if we are found praying souls. If we might have that testimony from heaven, that behold, he or she prayeth. Oh, bless with that great blessing of prayer, that communion with God, There will I meet with thee. There will I commune with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims of glory. O Lord, have mercy upon any prayerless souls here tonight, those satisfied with a form, an outward appearance, a lamp of profession, but yet lack the grace of God. O pluck them as brands from the burning, and Lord, may this death, have such a voice in it, for one day we all must die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Can we face an holy God? Can we face an angry God? Can we face a sin-hating and a sin-punishing God? Lord, do quicken those yet dead in trespasses and in sin. Call them by thy grace. Bring them to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to prove all necessary things shall be added unto them. That we each possess never dying souls, before us each is a never ending eternity, heaven or hell. To be prepared for heaven. How many, many times has this verse been quoted? But may it be truly prayed. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. What a sweet thought that one now departed is lifting her head with joy amongst the people of God in heaven. Singing forth those praises, that new song, there to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. We would remember burdened souls, praying souls, inquiring souls, seeking souls. Lord, those who would flee from the wrath to come, but all would flee to that city of refuge in Jesus alone, who long to find him, who long to know him, who fear to presume, but all to know that my beloved is mine, that I am his, that all is well for time and for eternity. May they prove, ye shall seek me and ye shall find me, when ye seek for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And may they prove that that time of love shall come, when they shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but they shall say, for me, that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, that peace, that true peace in believing. Remember each one gathered here tonight. Lord, bless each soul, touch each heart, do poor sinners good. Prosper thy word, glorify thy name, and may it be good for us to be here, if Jesus be but here, and come by thy Spirit, and come by thy word. Lord, do come and profit our souls. We would pray for those who are listening, those listening, as it were, live now, and others who may listen at another time. O Lord, remember each one in all their various needs, spiritual and providential. O Lord, bless this cause of truth, and may they yet prove that thy Spirit remaineth here. O gather others in also, such as shall be saved, to the honour and glory of thy name, in these dark and difficult, trying, evil days in which we live. O Lord, that thou art the same, thy years know no end, from everlasting to everlasting. Thy word knows no change. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Lord, we would remember all thy people in our own nation, throughout the whole earth. We pray for others also in bereavement, the family of the late Mr. Norman Rowe. Lord, remember them also. Do remember many in affliction at this time, laid aside. O Lord, whether it be thy holy will, be pleased to grant healing, restoring mercies. But where not, O may those souls also be taken to glory. O do sanctify these things. And Lord, help us in these days in which we live to look to thee, to trust in thee, to wait only upon thee. O, may our religion be real. May we be found by thy grace as bright light shining in a dark place, to show the world how Christians live, to walk by faith and not by sight, are to be found leaning upon our beloved, leaning upon all-sufficient grace. Have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. O, do be pleased to raise up in high office such who fear thy name, who serve thee, who worship thee, who believe in thee, who seek to honour thee, Lord, in the government, in the parliament, or amongst the leaders and the advisers in the judiciary. O, may there be found some with the fear of God in their heart. O Lord, we just fear and tremble. A nation ripe for thy judgments. How we have provoked thee to anger by the sins, the wickedness, the abominations, the evils. O Lord, who have mercy yet and hear the cries of thy people. And yet also we would be thankful for all thy many mercies. O, we have much to be thankful for of thy goodness and kindness. The ingathering of another harvest. And oh, we would be truly thankful for this and not to take it for granted. And for the supply of all our needs. Oh, we would be truly thankful. In everything we would give thanks. And Lord, grant us each truly thankful hearts. To hear our poor prayer. And pardon and forgive our every sin. Send answers of peace. Help us as we turn to thy word, open it up to our understanding, and apply it to our souls, O Lord, we pray. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 470. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to see, except a Saviour's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. hymn 470.
Pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter we've read together from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, and verse 14. 2 Kings, chapter 5, the 14th verse. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The second book of Kings, chapter 5, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I believe this word was laid upon my spirit last evening. I felt settled upon it. And when today I heard the sad news, I did wonder if a different text might be given to me. But no different text has been given to me. I still feel this verse to be laid upon my spirit to venture to speak from tonight. Oh, may it prove to be of the Lord. There are in Scripture some deep mysteries, things which according to our sense and reason we find hard to understand, we may find hard to reconcile why the Lord does these things, mysterious things. I only need to mention Samson and how the Lord used him throughout his life to do such great things for the good of the children of Israel, to be their judge for many years, to deliver them from the Philistines. And yet this man would only seek to have courtship, for want of a better word, with the daughters of the Philistines, who in the end ruined him by forcing out of him, using emotions, the secret where his great strength lay. His own dear parents couldn't understand it, but they knew not that it was of the Lord, of God's purposes, of God's will. Things very, very mysterious. Again, it came to me in a completely different sense. I think of the pool at Bethesda. And you remember how at a certain season an angel came down from heaven and troubled the water. And whosoever was first into the water with an illness and affliction would be healed, whatever their illness or affliction was. Now, when this troubling of the water first came about, we're not told. When they first realized who was first into the water would be healed, we're not told. We're not told even when it ceased, the angel stopped coming. We're really not told anything about it at all. And of course, in that account, that man at Bethesda's pool, he never went into the water. Jesus came to him and healed him. Again, these mysterious things. Now, here in our context, we have Naaman, the Syrian, who really was an enemy of the children of Israel. If he was the governor general in the army, then surely either he went or he was responsible in sending those Syrians in verse 2 into the land of Israel. And no doubt there was a fight, there was a battle, and some were taken away into captivity. And Israel suffered, and they suffered loss. They suffered because of the Syrians. And yet, this little maid, this captive little maid, speaking of the prophet in Israel, then word comes from Naaman to the king of Syria, and we find a king of Syria writing a letter to the king of Israel, against whom he had fought and conquered part at least, desiring that Naaman might recover from his leprosy, that he might be made better and strong again. Well, surely it follows that he can go for a fight again. It all seems completely wrong. So mysterious. and yet it is of the Lord. It was of the Lord's doing. The purpose is of God. Perhaps there are some here tonight in things that you're passing through so mysterious, so strange. You wonder what's happening. You wonder why it must be. I just think of Rebecca, when with child, after 20 years of being barren, Lord, if it be so, why am I thus? Or why am I thus? And in our lives, we have many whys, don't we? We wonder why things happen. We wonder why things are permitted. Or we may at times, I'm sure we often do, struggle with the will of God. And dear friends, the reason we struggle with the will of God is because we have our own will. And left to ourselves, we would pursue and have and fulfill our own will rather than the will of God, because our flesh, sense, reason so often doesn't like the will of God, doesn't want the will of God. Because it may mean suffering, it may mean hardship, it may mean loss, it may mean disappointment. And sometimes we come into these mysteries, these things, and we just cannot understand. We wonder why. Well, here is work for faith. Did not the apostle write, "Fight the good fight of faith"? And can I say, especially in the days in which we live, what grace we need to fight the good fight of faith. Because unbelief, that sin which doth so easily beset us, will be constantly fighting against faith. And at times unbelief, sadly, will overcome. Oh, may the Lord increase our faith to overcome unbelief. I remember hearing, I think it was a New Year's sermon, many years ago now, of the tribe Gad. Gad, a troop shall overcome him. But he shall overcome at the last. What a description of the people of God, so often overcome by unbelief, doubts, fears, diffidence, distrust. Overcome by the world, the things of the world, the cares of the world, the ways of the world. Overcome by so many, many things. But oh, for that faith to overcome. I speak reverently, but oh, for faith to fight back. Against unbelief, against all these evils. You see, Satan, that malicious foe, I believe he has one purpose concerning every child of God, to cause them to make shipwreck of faith, to destroy their faith in God, to cause them to fall, if you will, to prevent them from going to heaven, to drag them down to hell with him, to destroy them. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what Satan did at the very beginning, to destroy the works of God. And he thought he had succeeded. Or when he caused man to sin, to rise up against God, to disobey God, how Satan thought he had ruined everything of God's fair creation, and man made in the image of God, he'd destroy that image. But blessed be God, in that wonderful plan of salvation, how the Lord Jesus would come down to this sin-cursed earth as a real man, and live that holy life as a real man, in which he obeyed and fulfilled the law of God, and he magnified that law, made it honourable. The Lord Jesus never ever sinned. And he laid down his life. He shed his own heart's precious blood. The life is in the blood. He shed every drop of vital blood to atone for sin, to put away sin. Indeed, as we read, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. He destroyed everything that Satan tried to do. And the Lord, even today, is yet able to destroy everything that Satan seeks to do. Oh, have faith in God, the Lord Jesus said. Oh, that we had faith in God. A little faith, and we can pray, Lord, increase our faith. We read of Abraham, that man of God. Oh, how he gave God the glory, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform, and being strong in faith. Oh, strong in faith. Sadly, many of us feel to be strong in unbelief and so weak in faith, weaklings in faith. Yes, a great mercy to have a little faith, because a little faith is infinitely better than no faith. A great blessing to have a little faith believing in God. And dear praying soul, the very fact that you're a praying soul proves that you have a little faith. Because when we come before the Lord in prayer, we pray unto him, it is in faith, believing that God is in heaven. But through the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father, our prayers are heard. And in God's time, our prayers will be answered. For Jesus' sake. Or we have that faith in God to pray unto him. Or may we have that faith in God to believe in him. Not in the way that the devils believe and also tremble, but all to believe to the salvation of our never dying souls. You see, that is the one thing needful. The salvation of our never dying souls, that we each possess never dying souls. And one day, each one of us here must die. We also must leave this earth. And how is it with you? And how is it with me? Oh, what a great mercy if we have that humble hope. It is well. Oh, if we have found grace in the sight of God, obtained the mercy of God, and through the finished work and the precious blood and the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven, mercy obtained. All that wonderful peace in believing, 'tis well while life endures, 'tis well when called to die. I believe there are some troubled, anxious souls here. Oh, you long to know it is well. You dare not presume. Oh, what an evil thing it is to presume. Oh, to be found right with God. May the Lord ever save us from all that is false. Every false way. Every false hope. Every false prop. Every false teacher, prophet, preacher. All that is not of God. And may the Lord save us from a false peace. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. But you dear souls, anxious souls, you long all for the truth. You long for that true peace. That true peace in believing. Oh, you long to know that it is well. You long to know your sins forgiven. Oh, you long to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. To save you from all of your sins, to save you from the wrath to come, and to save you with an everlasting salvation. And do not you cry, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Or that other prayer we have in the psalm, remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Oh, speak peace into my heart. Perhaps some of you may feel to be likened to that woman who was so bowed down she could in no wise lift up herself. Do not we read that Jesus said that whom Satan had bound? Lo, these 18 years, this long time, this long period of her life, Satan had bound her that she could in no wise lift up herself. But where do we find her? And she was afflicted. She was literally bowed over. She perhaps was very poor, very weak. She had her infirmities. But where do we find her? In a temple, in the house of God. Oh, we find her, one desiring to worship God, I'm sure in spirit and in truth. And oh, what a memorable, never to be forgotten day when there in the temple. And you think at times in that temple, there were the buyers and the sellers. There were those who defiled the temple. And there were the priests and the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees who hated the Lord Jesus. But there was this dear woman with the fear of God in her heart. Oh, she would be found there. And Jesus came to her. And Jesus spake to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was raised up and glorified God. Oh, raised up to that sweet hope in the mercy of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and she glorified God. There is that prayer, isn't there, in a psalm? I'm sure it's a prayer of some here. "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, saith the Lord." Or you may feel to be dumb. You dare not speak. You long to speak of the things of God. You long to declare to sinners round what a dear Saviour you have found. You long to point to his redeeming blood and say, "Behold the way to God." Or it may be, but perhaps you feel to be like a stammerer. You cannot speak clearly. Or that you would. You long for the Lord to loose your tongue, to speak forth his praises and what you trust the Lord has done. Oh, how you long for the Lord thus to come to you. But do you hope in his word? Do you, with the, again, psalmist, pray, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Now do you have such a word that when you come before the Lord in prayer, oh, you plead that word, perhaps a word of promise, a word of comfort, a word of exhortation, oh, a word where there is that hope that the Lord may perform, the Lord may do, the Lord may come, the Lord may appear, the Lord may grant you your requests. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And perhaps this is a word you hope, it's a prayer of the publican. "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Or perhaps it's that word spoken against the Lord Jesus, that this man receiveth sinners. Or the words of the Lord Jesus himself, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." It may be some other word, but you have that hope. But I hope in thy word. And you would believe that word. And you beg the Lord to perform his word. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? How favoured we are to have the sacred scriptures. The word of God, of which we read, is able to make us wise unto salvation. The Lord speaks to his people through his word. "By his spirit he shall take of mine and show it unto you," by which I understand he will apply it into the heart. The Holy Spirit will make you a good ground hearer. Now, that may be through trouble, affliction, sorrow, disappointment, but being sanctified, being used of God to awaken, to quicken. The Lord will prepare your heart so that when you come to hear the gospel, you don't come longing for the amen. You don't come to find fault. You don't come to criticize. You don't come just for the interest. You don't come out of tradition. You come, oh, longing for a word from the Lord. Perhaps one has come tonight. Is there any word from the Lord? You long for the Lord to speak to you. You long for that word to come with power, authority, the unction to enter in, for being a good ground hearer, that the seed might come, that it might abide. And the very end of it is that it might bring forth fruit to God's honour, to God's glory, the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful blessing that we have before us, the Word of God. We have this natural account of Naaman the Syrian, the leper, and through this little maid speaking, she didn't even mention the King of Israel. She mentioned, would God, my Lord, by which she means Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This little maid believed in God and believed in what God was able to do. But when you think of it, that little maid, because she was a captive, has seen that the Lord had permitted Israel to be defeated on that occasion, that she was not at home with her parents. Perhaps her parents had died, we don't know. And yet the Lord had used her to bring forth really the word of God and what the God of Israel was able to do. And then there seems to be some misinterpretation from what the little maid said to the message, because we have a king of Syria sending Naaman unto the king of Israel. And the king of Israel thought that the king of Syria would seek a quarrel or a further war against him. And yet Elisha hears of him. You see, the little maid would have Naaman go to Elisha, not to the king of Israel. But again, in the providence of God, Elisha hears what the king had done in renting his clothes. Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now Naaman came, and he came with his carriage, his horses, his chariots, his servants, we don't know how many. And he stands before the house of Elisha, which I feel sure was a very humble abode. Now Naaman had already thought what would happen to him. He thought the prophet would come out. He would call on the name of the Lord. He would strike his hand over the place, perhaps it was a specific place where the leprosy was first found. And then he would be recovered. That is what he thought would happen to him. But Elisha, rather than coming out himself, sends a messenger, perhaps Gehazi. And there was one word, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, Elisha was a prophet, and what he spoke forth here was the word of the Lord. It wasn't of his own volition, it wasn't of his own thoughts or ideas, he'd received it from God. But in this way, Naaman the Syrian would be cleansed from his leprosy. But we read that Naaman was wroth. He rejected the word of the Lord. He despised the word of the Lord. Oh, if he must be washed in a river, what are the rivers of Abana and Pharpar in Damascus? Surely they're much better than this Jordan. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, but still a leper. Still a leper. He wanted things his way. Oh, he wanted things to happen as he had thought. He had perhaps planned or schemed in his mind. He didn't like the thought of having to go down to Jordan and wash there. He rejected that thought. He despised that thought. He was quite prepared to go back to Syria, a leper, rather than go down to Jordan and wash there. Very wise servants who came and reasoned with him. My father, if a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Well, of course he would. If it reflected well on him, if he would come out of it looking so wonderful and could go back and tell of these great things that happened to him, he could glory in the flesh, wouldest thou not have done it? Well, yes, of course. Well, how much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? It's so simple. It's so easy. Wash and be clean. I know it's been a long time coming, but it brings us to our text. Then went he down. And one thought came to me with this: submission to the word of God. As we might so say, he had to swallow his pride. He had to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. If he would be clean, he must obey the word of God. There was no alternative. There was no other word. There was nothing else. This was the word. Then went he down. He literally went down to where Jordan was. And then he literally went down into the river. And no doubt dipped himself, submerged himself, immersed himself, I believe literally 7 times. Now my mind went to Elijah and his servant there at Carmel. Have you ever considered it was actually 8 times that servant went to look? Because he went the first time, looked, came back, there is nothing, go again 7 times. Oh, may there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. Naaman would dip 7 times. And after the 7th time he came up and he was clean. All by submitting to the will of God, the word of God, the ways of God. Now, with the Lord's dealings with his people, he speaks of them through his word, and he will cause them to hear his voice. Now, the great thing, just one thought on this with Naaman the Syrian, that he was a leper, and yes, he was healed. But then sometime later he also would have died. Now, there are so many in affliction at this time. We do hope, pray and trust where it is the will of God that healing mercies might be granted and such might be raised up. But we know that it is appointed unto men once to die. I believe I shall always remember overhearing a conversation in the corridors at Bethesda whilst working there in the home of one who had recently been in hospital but had been restored and returned just in conversation to another. And I just overheard this: well, one day something will take us. And both of them are now taken. And it's true. And yes, we come into affliction, we come into sickness, we hope and pray that the Lord will be very gracious and grant healing mercies. But one day it won't always be. Ah, one day something will take us. Now here Naaman was spared. But what I see here, is a figure. If you will, a type. Because how often in the Bible leprosy is seen as that type of sin of which there is no natural cure, no natural hope. Now, I know that all were not lepers in the Bible, of course, but all are sinners. But remember what a hymn writer once penned: though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. And it will be our mercy if we are found amongst that few who are sinners in our own sight. Not just to say that we are sinners, but oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression, when man feels the plague of his own heart. It's amazing, really, how the whole world almost literally is so fearful of his plague, of being caught with that plague, going down with it. And yet how very, 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 very few are troubled at the plague of sin. Man born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Oh, the very worst this plague can do, this natural plague, of course, is to kill the body. Very solemn. But what of a plague of sin to destroy the soul eternally. Oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a plague or curse hast thou brought in? All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Is it not when the Lord begins that work of grace and awakens that soul? By and by, they shall be brought to feel, to know that I am a sinner, a guilty sinner before an holy God. And they will be brought in confession unto God. You see, it's all part of that repentance towards God. Confession of sin. Oh, not just to state a few sins, not just to repeat a few things we had done wrong, but rather with a psalmist, there in Psalm 51, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Lord, I am a guilty sinner. That solemn recognition that we have sinned against God, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death. Now, dear friends, do understand that God is so holy, so pure, so righteous, so just. God must punish sin, the sinner. And really every sinner throughout the whole world, down through the ages of time, will know the punishment of their sins in one of two ways. It will either be bearing the punishment themselves in hell forever and ever and ever, or the Lord Jesus Christ bore the punishment instead. He was that substitute to stand in the room, the place and stead of every one of his dear people. And there at Calvary, the Lord Jesus laid down his life, a ransom for many. What he endured, what he suffered, what he went through, we cannot begin to imagine. But he bore the punishment instead to put away sin, to shed his blood to atone for sin. Oh, the wonderful love of God, and that salvation by grace through faith. Through faith. The Lord Jesus is a word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The eternal Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord speaks, it is his word. And oh, what a message of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, do I hear one cry? Oh, could I but believe? Then all would easy be. Lord, oh, that cry of that one. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, to truly believe, not just to say that we believe, but to truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of our never-dying souls. I just remind you of what the Apostle John was led to write towards the end of his Gospel. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. But these are written in the Word of God. These are set forth in the Word of God, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the way the Lord has chose to save. I just want to very briefly mention the children of Israel in the wilderness when they sinned against God, and yet when they repented and turned to God in confession, the Lord caused Moses to make that brazen serpent. And those who were bitten were bidden, look to it, and those who looked, they lived. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. All men is the very same as those few who believe. Those few who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we would know that repentance towards God, but also that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe in him is to come to him, to trust in him. Ah, then went he down to the feet of Jesus. And that's where the Lord will bring his people. That's where the Lord will draw his people. To the feet of Jesus, if you will, to the foot of the cross. Oh, to come down to that place. Then he went down, stripped of his own self-righteousness. A bankrupt soul with nothing to pay. His hope is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, here we have Jordan, but maybe rather sea. Oh, that precious flood of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, plunge me in that crimson ocean. Thy atonement made for sin. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, which cleanseth from all sin. And though we may feel our sins to abound, we may feel to be great sinners, but still his blood cleanseth us from all sin. And you, dear souls, who may feel that your sins abound and abound and abound, oh, to prove that his grace doth much more abound. Then went he down. According, not to the saying of a man of God as such, but according to the word of God, according to the will of God. You see, at Calvary, and the hymn writer speaks of it, a mention of Naaman being proud, and we all by nature would be proud. We have that word, I think it's in Job, here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And Joseph Harton, that hymn of pride, and he speaks of Calvary, that one place pride could never ever enter. For should it dare, would soon be drowned with blood. Oh, there's no pride to be found at Calvary, where a poor sinner comes broken to a broken Jesus, his body broken. Oh, those wounds, that precious blood, those streams of mercy, the mercy of God. That word in Romans 3, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, his precious blood. Then went he down. Every child of God must come down. Remember Nicodemus, he must come down. Ah, the Lord will bring down his people. He will strip them from all self-righteousness. He will take away every other prop. Every other stay, or wherever they might be looking to, the Lord takes it away. That in the end, it's Jesus only. Oh, to be brought there, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Jesus only. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Now we know in Scripture the number 7 is that definite number for an indefinite. It is the perfect number. And what God does is perfect. His plan of salvation, perfect. The salvation of every child of God, perfect. Poor sinners washed in Jesus' precious blood, are cleansed from all their sins. All being stripped of all their own self-righteousness. In a sense, that doesn't make them perfect, but being clothed upon with Christ's spotless righteousness, that makes them perfect. In him, in Christ, the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him, we then perfection view his saints in him, a perfect too. Then went he down. And dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God. Ah, the saying of a man of God. It becometh us to preach Christ and him crucified, to point sinners to the only hope, the only cure, the only way, the only Saviour. We preach Christ and Him crucified, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Preach a word, the word of God, according to the saying of a man of God, preaching the word of God. Ah, the foolishness of preaching, you see, it's nothing in man, nothing to do with man. Whatever eloquence, abilities or gifts a man may have, it's irrelevant. It's the word of God, and He will have all the glory. He will never have man to glory in His presence. But according to the saying of a man of God, to preach a gospel, those glad tidings of great joy, Christ and Him crucified. Oh, bid the bitten look unto Him. What a word, look unto me and be saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else, no other Saviour. According to the saying of the man of God. Oh, that the blood of Jesus cleanseth from all sin. Ah, would we be found sheltering under the blood? Do we long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, that peace in believing? Or it may be that we must yet come further down, right down to the feet of Jesus. Oh, right down, having nothing of self, or absolutely nothing of the flesh, or nothing which we can do, nothing which we can offer, nothing which we can bring forth, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, look to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. And His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And He was clean, perfectly clean, cleansed every whit. And how wonderful that the blood of Jesus, oh, cleanseth from all sin, every sin. And He was clean. Oh, when one recovered would be pronounced clean. Oh, may we, oh, know something of that cleansing. And He was clean, cleansed from all our sins. Then went He down and dipped Himself 7 times in Jordan. I must mention this. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us with both. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of Christ constrain us to make that open profession of our faith in obedience to the word of God. Yes, to be baptized, to be dipped into the water, showing forth whom we are and whom we serve. You see, it's that commandment of love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Perhaps there's some of you here struggling as you were, if you were to come down. You'd rather avoid it. Then went He down. Of course, baptism in and of itself, there's nothing saving in it. There's nothing redeeming in it. But it's in that obedience of love. Do this in remembrance of me, really. Oh, it sets forth the death of Christ. It sets forth the death of the flesh, a crucify of His self, that I no more, but Christ might live. But it also sets forth the resurrection, at rising again, at new life. Then went He down in submission, in humility, in love, by grace. Then went He down and dipped Himself 7 times in Jordan. according to the saying of the man of God, are according to the word of God, the will of God. The Lord seeks in all his people obedience. In all things, not just in baptism, believers' baptism, but in all things, to forsake all to follow me. That obedience to his word, to his will. That submission to what the Lord sees best. Yes, our ways are not his ways, neither our thoughts his thoughts. But surely the Lord's ways and the Lord's thoughts are so much better than our ways. If Naaman was left to his thoughts, his ways, he would have gone back to Syria as a leper. But by obeying to the obedience to the word and will of God, yes, he would go back to Syria, but he was cleansed. And oh, not only was he cleansed, but we believe in that sense he was converted to believe in the Lord God of Israel and to worship him. Then went he down, very, very briefly. It may be something else, it may be something in providence, it may be something in your pathway, and you might be resisting, you might be struggling, you might be fighting against, and to you it means a going down, and you don't want to, and oh, what a battle there is within. Well, may the Lord grant you grace, much grace, to bow before him. Or you will prove it will be for your good, for your soul's profit. Jacob feared to go down into Egypt. At that time Joseph was there, and the Lord said to him, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will be with thee. I will be with thee." Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach on the coming Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening. There was to have been a prayer meeting for the church members next Friday evening, but I feel we should have a prayer meeting for the whole congregation at this time of sorrow. That's next Friday evening at 7 o'clock. Our closing hymn, 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.